12:30 at on Newsbeat with myself, Shafiq Morton, out our studio window up the slopes of Devil's Peak. Devil's Peak Dusty sitting on the rock, steam rising from his fur as he dries out after 10 days of rain up on the mountainside. South Africa's national bird, the blue crane, is now officially classified as vulnerable. That is not good news. A 44% population decline in the Overberg region over 15 years has raised the alarm. We speak to Endangered Wildlife Trust conservation scientist Dr. Christy Craig, who says the species faces growing threats from climate change, agrochemicals, power lines, and habitat loss. Dr. Christy Craig, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Shavi.
All right. We see some of the reasons why the blue crane is being endangered. Climate change, but I think one thing that really jumps off the page is agrochemicals. I know that the Cape Vulture also has a pretty hard time as well, and that some farmers even poison the birds, thinking that the birds are damaging their crops or their animals or whatever. So how do we tackle this problem?
Yeah, so agrochemicals are an interesting one with blue cranes. You have direct poisoning, which is generally not targeted at blue cranes, to our knowledge. That's generally targeted at damage-causing species like geese that damage crops during the growing period. And because blue cranes eat the same kind of thing as the geese, they will take the baits. But there's also a bit of an unknown around what we call sublethal effects of agrochemicals. So obviously there are a lot of pesticides and herbicides that are sprayed in the landscape, and we don't really know what kind of impact those are having on blue cranes. We know that they impact other species. There's some studies in America that show impacts on, for example, eggshells and that kind of thing, but we definitely need to do some research in that space for blue crane.
No, definitely. Now, why on earth are farmers being allowed to use poisons? I mean, poisons are not poisons are never species specific, are they? I mean, if you're killing one species, you're killing about 10 surrounding the one species.
Yeah, this is the problem with poisons. It's very non-specific. I mean, I think it was a big problem several years ago, in sort of the 80s, 90s. But since then, we've obviously got a lot more environmental legislation, a lot more awareness amongst farmers. So I think we are seeing a bit of an uptick recently. And it's with this kind of illegal, so it is illegal. We do have legislation around poisoning in South Africa. And it's always difficult to find out information about illegal activities because we sort of find it out in indirect ways. But we do certainly seem to be seeing more cases popping up, and that could be because we're more active in the landscape and we're finding out about it, or it could be because there are just more poisonings happening. And I think these poisonings happen when farmers get desperate in terms of crop damage, or maybe they think they won't get caught. But either way, we need a presence in the landscape, and we need to be making sure the farmers know that they can't do this and they can't get away with it. But I would say for the vast majority, farmers are not using poison and they are aware of the risks, but it is a minority which obviously can impact quite a lot of birds. If for example, you have a flock of 100 that take in these baits. But luckily it does. I mean, my experience of farmers in the Western Cape is many of them are very conservation-minded. And won't use poisons. So it's not a majority by any means.
Right. So how does climate change play into this? Because that certainly is profound. I mean, just in the Western Cape, our last couple of winters, we have intense storm activity followed by beautiful weather, then hugely intense storm activity. So we have 2 weeks of rain in 3 hours, basically. Now, that certainly must be having an effect.
Yeah, climate change is an interesting one. So far we've just looked at the impact of temperature during the breeding season. We had a master's student, Michelle Bauer, do the project. And she did find that at high, the eggs are more likely to fail. We haven't looked in depth at the other aspects of climate change, like, as you mentioned, the change in rainfall patterns. But it's certainly a concern to us that the Western Cape is predicted to become hotter and drier overall. So if they're going to be struggling to breed successfully at high temperatures, this is definitely a concern.
Are we seeing the migration of species to different areas because of the shifts in temperature, for example? I mean, some scientists are observing that certain species are able to move into different terrains. Of course, that causes a sort of a different kind of a domino effect when they go into different environments because of temperature changes or whatever.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So it doesn't look like it with the Western, with the blue crane. So it seems like the movements are more to do with agriculture, at least from what we're observing. So we are seeing blue cranes move further up the west coast and also move further west in the Karoo. We think this has more to do with agriculture and provision of water for livestock than climate change necessarily.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting.
And it's certainly, and I see that power lines are put down here as also a problem. Is that because the power lines are live and the birds electrocute themselves? Is it as simple as that?
So for blue cranes, they don't perch. They actually don't have the capability to perch. So generally they collide with the line. So it's a collision issue. But what can happen is, because they're quite a big bird, if they touch two phases, for example, with their legs and their head, they can get electrocuted while they are colliding. And then you'll often have a fire or burn marks on the bird. But generally, the primary cause of death is collision rather than electrocution.
Right. So going forward, how do we ensure that the blue cranes can survive? Is it a question of creating habitats for them in the form of reserves? How do we go forward? How do we protect the species?
Yeah, so we have different approaches depending on where they occur. So in the grasslands and the Karoo, they're occurring in more natural habitats. So here, making protected environments and stewardship on farms are very powerful ways to protect the habitat that they need and obviously then protect them. And then in the Western Cape, where they're occurring on more agricultural areas, here we have a lot of need for landowners to be custodians of the blue cranes and to ensure that they try and minimize disturbance and basically make sure that the blue cranes are safe in these agricultural spaces. And then when it comes to power lines, we've got a working partnership with Eskom, and we need to be really proactive in terms of marking lines, making sure the power lines are put up in areas or not put up in areas that are high risk for blue cranes, and so on.
Is there anything one can put onto power lines that will stop birds from flying into them? I know in urban areas, people have like a rotating mirrors that prevents birds from flying or landing on buildings, for example.
Yeah, so similarly, with that similar kind of concept, we do have little plastic discs that are reflective, and some of them have an LED light that we put up on, well, I say we work with Eskom, who puts them up on the lines. And we've had a long-term study along with UCT in the Karoo, and they've found that these devices are up to 90% effective in reducing the collision rate for blue cranes. So we know that it works. We've just got to get the devices up.
Oh, that certainly is a silo of good news. Do you think we will be able to save the blue crane? I mean, it is our national bird. It would be a real travesty if a national animal is on people's blazers or on crests and it's dead. It, you know, like it's like Mauritius and the dodo, for example.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm quite optimistic that we can turn the trend around for blue cranes. We were seeing a recovery in the population up until about 15 years ago. So I think we've got good experience of protecting cranes in South Africa. And I think given the resources and the capacity, we can definitely turn the trend around. I'm fairly optimistic.
Dr. Christy Craig, Endangered Wildlife Trust Conservation Specialist, talking to us about our national bird, the blue crane. Vulnerable species right now, and let's hope we can turn it all around. But Dr. Christy Craig, thanks for joining us on Newsbeat.